this is Ed Goldman with the Goldman State Podcast. Whose armrest is it anyway? And while we're at it, whose workout room TV? Whose dinner reservation, which you made before the host seated people who arrived after you and after they greeted the host by name and in his native Lithuanian? These are the questions that may seem trivial or even petty, mainly because they are, when compared to global issues such as who owns a plot of land, whose religion is better, and how to license confiscated wartime art treasures. But I firmly believe armrest possession, gym television rights, and faux reservations are just as capable of fomenting everything from a sock in the jaw to a citizen's arrest, from telling someone to go fire truck himself, but leaving out five key letters, to, at the very least, issuing a stern memo on lawyer-looking letterhead. By the way, here's a helpful hint to those attempting the latter. Merely putting Esquire after your name won't do it, especially when you've done it in crayon. The armrest issue usually comes up with airline seating, or as it's also known, death by a thousand leg cramps, welcome to the sardine factory, and why am I inhaling your carbon dioxide? Etiquette experts have been weighing in on the armrest issue to no avail. And apparently the airlines, which usually do everything in their power to keep us comfortable, informed, and relaxed, except, you know, giving a flying fire truck about all of that I just said, they don't have any rules about it, nor do they have any rules about the following. A, how many times the five-year-old sitting in front of you can recline and return his seat in the span of a minute, or how frequently the five-year-old sitting behind you may kick the back of your seat. B, why the window seat passenger is allowed to pull down the shade just as you lean over to catch the sunset. C, why a fellow passenger is allowed to take up all the space in the overhead bin with her fold-up conference kiosk. And D, why the person in the middle seat was allowed to board with a designated service pit bull that gets flatulent at high altitudes. So let's discuss our second concern. Who owns the TV, or at least the remote control, ergo the programming rights, in your workout room? Obviously, I'm not talking about a workout room in your own home, though if you have enough space to have created one, surely you can tell your spouse, roomie, or child to wait until you're done before they switch the channel to the neo-Nazi NewsHour or a PBS special, Nova, Animals Killing Animals, in 3D where available. Now, I'm talking about a public gym or even one at a private club where the viewing schedule seems to be determined on a first-come, first-nerve basis. This can be problematic if there's only one TV set in the room, or even if there are plenty of sets, but one of your fellow exercisers is legally deaf. Even if you agree with that person's politics, which is unlikely, do you really want to hear about a 37-car pileup on a fog-shrouded freeway in Cape Disappointment, Washington, before you've had coffee? And yeah, there's a real city and called Cape Disappointment, Washington, and it's also one of the foggiest in the U.S. Finally, let's talk about dinner reservations. You arrive at the appointed time and are seated in the bar for 20 minutes. When you ask why it took 20 minutes to seat you even though you had a reservation, the answer is, well, we've had a number of walk-ins. Okay, if you need me, I'll be dining in the Cape Disappointment Denny's. I'm Ed Goldman. My column, The Goldman State, comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can subscribe for free at goldmanstate.com. Thanks for listening.